Welcome to your deep dive. Today, we're going to be looking at injection molding.
Yeah.
Specifically, how to make it more efficient.
Okay.
You guys sent over a ton of articles on this topic.
Great.
And I got to say, I was pretty surprised by how much actually goes into making these products.
It is pretty amazing.
You know, these plastic products we use every single day.
It's a kind of a balance of art and science.
Yeah, it's true. I never really thought about it before.
Right.
You know, the precision and all that.
Hmm.
So, why don't we just jump right in?
Okay, sounds good.
One of the things that I noticed kept coming up was this idea of the injection rate.
Yeah, that's key.
So can you break that down for us?
Sure.
Like, what exactly is injection rate?
So the injection rate is literally the speed at which we're injecting that molten plastic into the mold, and we measure that in cubic centimeters per second.
Gotcha. So like how much volume of plastic
exactly
you get doing in per second.
Yeah, and controlling that flow is really important to get a good part.
Hmm.
Now, if the injection rate is too slow, the plastic can cool down and solidify before it even gets to all the parts of the mold, and you end up with something called a short shot.
Short shot.
Which basically means you have an incomplete part.
Okay.
It's kind of like if you were trying to fill a cake mold with really slow-moving chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it might set before it reaches all those
little
intricate details.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then what happens if it's too fast?
Well, then it's almost like, you're trying to fill that mold with a fire hose.
Okay.
You risk trapping air in there.
Oh.
You get voids and bubbles. And that can compromise the strength of the product.
Yeah, can imagine.
And the appearance.
Yeah.
Think about something like a medical device or a phone case.
Very good.
You really want those to be smooth and strong.
Yeah, definitely.
No bubbles.
So I guess what I'm hearing is there's like a sweet spot.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not one size fits all.
Okay.
And a lot of it depends on the material itself.
Okay.
Different plastics have different viscosities.
The viscosities.
Meaning some flow more easily than others.
Gotcha. So that makes sense.
Yeah, like pouring water versus pouring honey.
Gotcha.
Big difference.
Okay.
So you know polyethylene, which is used in a lot of packaging.
Mm-hmm.
That's a low viscosity plastic.
Okay, so that would be more like the water.
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
Polyethylene flows easily, so you can use higher injection rates.
Makes sense.
But then you have something like polycarbonate.
Okay.
Which is often used in electronics casings.
Great, because it's super durable.
Yeah, exactly. Very strong.
Yeah.
That has a much higher viscosity.
Oh, so if you were to try to inject that
as
fast as the polyester,
you'd run into problems.
It's not going to work.
You'd be like trying to squeeze peanut butter through a straw.
Yeah.
You need more pressure.
Okay.
Yeah, gotta go slower.
Gotcha.
Much more controlled.
And that makes sense, especially when you're thinking about
these
complex molds.
Yeah, exactly.
The more complex the mold, the slower you need to go.
It's like that cake mold again, right?
Right.
If you inject too fast, you're not going to get the detail.
You're going to lose all the detail.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got the material.
Right.
We've got the design of the mold.
Exactly.
Is there anything else that we're...
Yeah, one more thing.
Okay.
You got to think about the machine itself.
Okay, the injection molding machine?
The injection molding machine, yeah.
Makes sense.
They have different capabilities. Kind of like cars.
Okay.
You know, some cars are built for speed.
Yeah.
Some are built for power.
Right.
Some are built for like really precise control.
Gotcha.
So you got to make sure that the machine can handle the material.
Okay.
And that complexity.
So you wouldn't want to put like,
you
know, a truck engine in a little sports car.
You need the right tool for the job.
Right. You got to have the right tool for the job.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you really have to know what you're doing to get this right.
There's definitely a learning curve.
Yeah.
But the good news is.
Okay.
There are ways to like monitor and control the process.
Okay.
To, you know, make sure you don't mess it up.
Gotcha. So you mentioned earlier these advanced control systems.
Right.
What does that even mean?
So basically, modern injection molding machines have all these like fancy sensors and software that allow you to monitor things like the temperature, the pressure, even the viscosity of the plastic in real time.
So it's not just set it and forget it.
No, no.
You're like actually watching it happen.
It's like you've got a bunch of little engineers inside the machine.
Wow.
Making sure everything's good.
That's wild.
Yeah. So let's say the sensors detect that the plastic isn't flowing the way it should.
Mm-hmm.
The system can automatically adjust
Oh, what?
Like the injection pressure or the temperature to fix
it. And it does that all by itself.
Yeah, you don't have to do anything.
So you're basically preventing problems before they even start.
Yeah, preventative maintenance.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and these systems can even learn from previous runs to optimize future production.
Oh, that's interesting.
They can like remember what settings worked best for different materials and molds.
Wow. So they're getting smarter.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
All the time.
It's really amazing.
That is really cool.
But it's not just about the machines.
Okay.
You also need a skilled operator.
Oh, right. A human.
Yeah, someone who really understands both the technical side and the properties of the materials.
So like kind of like a chef.
Yeah, exactly.
Who has to know their ingredients.
You got to know.
How to use all the equipment.
How to use the oven.
Yeah, exactly. All that stuff.
So you need that human element.
For sure.
In there.
Yeah. The machines are great. But you still need that person to oversee everything.
To make sure everything's running smoothly.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've talked about injection rate.
Right.
We've talked about these control systems. Mm. What about this thing I keep seeing called cycle time?
Oh, yeah, cycle time. That's a big one.
Okay, so tell me about that.
So cycle time is basically the total time it takes to complete one full cycle from when the mold closes. To when the finished part comes out.
Gotcha. So like how long does it take?
Yeah. How fast can you churn out parts?
Okay.
And of course you want that to be as short as possible.
The faster the better. Yeah. Shorter cycle times mean more productivity.
Okay.
Lower costs.
Right.
But you can't rush things too much.
Right. You don't want to compromise.
You'll sacrifice quality.
The quality. Yeah.
Exactly.
So I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
There's a balance.
Always a balance.
You know, you can't go too fast.
Right.
You can't go too slow.
It's like Goldilocks.
Yeah.
Not too hot, not too cold.
Just what? Right. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. So what kind of things affect cycle time?
A lot of things, actually. Okay. Like the injection rate, mold temperature, cooling time, the material itself.
Gotcha. So like if you don't let it cool long enough?
Yeah. If the cooling time's too short, the part might warp.
Okay.
When it comes out.
That makes sense.
But if you let it cool too long,
okay,
you're just wasting time.
You're slowing down the whole process.
Exactly.
So there's that sweet spot again.
There it is again.
Okay. So how can manufacturers speed things up?
Good question.
Without
you know,
sacrificing quality.
Well, you definitely need good machines and good operators.
Okay.
But there are other strategies too.
Okay. Like what?
Well, one thing is to optimize the mold design.
Okay. The mold itself.
Yeah. Like a well-designed mold will allow for like efficient filling, cooling, ejection of the part.
So it's all got to be.
It's all connected.
Working together.
Yeah. So for example,
right.
One technique is to use what are called conformal cooling channels.
Conformal cooling channels.
Yeah. It's a mouthful.
Okay.
But basically, instead of just having simple straight channels for the coolant fluid.
Mm-hmm.
Conformal channels follow the shape of the part.
So it's like more targeted.
Exactly. Right, like, yeah. Much more efficient.
Yeah.
And even small adjustments to the gate location, that's where the plastic enters the mold.
Right. That can make a big difference.
So it's all about optimizing.
It's all about flow.
That flow.
Yeah.
Okay. That's really interesting.
And then, of course, you got to think about the material.
Right back to the material.
Some plastics naturally solidify faster.
Okay.
Which means shorter cooling times.
Gotcha.
So choosing the right plastic can make a big difference.
In terms of efficiency.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got the machines.
Right.
We've got the operators.
Yep.
The mold, design the material.
Yeah.
Anything else we can do?
Well, one thing that people sometimes overlook is automation.
Oh, yeah. Robots.
Robots, exactly.
Okay.
So by incorporating robots.
Okay.
You can reduce manual labor.
Okay.
Speed up tasks.
Makes sense.
Improve consistency.
So robots are making their way.
They're definitely.
Into injection molding.
Changing the game.
Okay. So this is all super important for manufacturers, right?
Sure.
I mean, the more efficient they can be.
The more money they save.
Exactly.
Less waste.
Less waste.
More competitive products.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but there's one more thing.
Okay, what's that?
We got to talk about sustainability.
Oh, right. Sustainability.
Yeah.
You know, plastic's got a...
It's a hot topic.
Pretty bad rap these days.
Yeah, for good reason.
Yeah.
So it's more important than ever to make this process more sustainable.
Okay, so how do we do that?
Well, one thing is
material
selection.
Okay, so like...
You know, there's a lot of interest these days
okay.
in recycled plastics.
Okay.
bio-based plastics.
Gotcha. So we don't always have to use
Exactly. But
virgin plastic.
reduce our reliance on those virgin material.
So are those like just as good?
Well, you know, they've come a long way in
Okay.
terms of performance.
Okay.
They're often just as strong and durable as
Yeah.
traditional plastics
And better for the environment.
and much better for the environment.
So it's a win-win.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And another area where we can make improvements
Okay.
is in the mold design itself.
Okay.
By optimizing the mold,
Good.
you can use less material,
Okay.
reduce waste, even shorten the cooling time,
Okay.
which saves energy.
Gotcha. So it's all about being more efficient.
It's about doing more with less.
Yeah.
And there are even innovations in the machines themselves.
Okay.
Some newer machines are designed
Okay.
to be more energy efficient.
That's great.
Yeah, so they use less power, generate less waste heat.
So it sounds like the industry is
It
really taking this seriously.
taking it very seriously.
Oh,
And
no.
it's not just because they want to be nice, it's also
Entre
because
Yeah, but
consumers are demanding
right, people want
eco-friendly products.
sustainable products.
Exactly.
Okay, so for a company
Yeah.
that wants to start doing this,
Right.
what's a good first step?
Well, I would say start with a waste audit.
A waste audit. Okay.
Yeah, just look
Right.
at where you're generating waste and see if you can reduce it.
Okay, so just become more aware
Yeah, awareness is key.
of where the waste is coming from.
Exactly.
Right.
And then look for opportunities to
Okay.
substitute materials.
Okay. Right. So like,
Yeah,
yeah.
can you use recycled plastic instead of virgin plastic? Things like that.
Okay. And maybe talk to
And talk to your supplier.
your suppliers about their practices.
Exactly. Yeah, the more you
Okay.
collaborate,
Okay.
the better.
Okay. So we've talked about machines operators, mold design materials, automation,
Right.
sustainability.
It's a lot,
That's a lot.
but it's all connected.
Yeah. Anything else?
Well, one last thing
Okay.
that I want to emphasize
Okay.
is continuous improvement.
Continuous improvement. Okay.
Yeah, never stop learning.
So
Yeah,
basically,
the industry's always changing.
okay.
You got to stay ahead of the curve.
So keep learning, keep growing,
Ex
exactly
ex
experimenting.
always be experimenting.
Okay.
Try new things.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. It really sounds like
Yeah.
a lot goes into it.
It's a fascinating process.
It really is. And it seems like it's always changing too.
Absolutely. Technology never stands still.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So speaking of technology,
Yeah.
you know, we got to talk about 3D printing.
Of course.
Everyone's talking about it these days.
It's a hot topic.
It's gonna like replace injection molding altogether.
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the answer, as always,
Okay.
is it depends.
Okay, so when does it make sense to use
Right.
3D printing?
So 3D printing is really good
Next
for
day.
prototypes and small-scale production.
Okay.
You know, it's super flexible. You can make design changes quickly.
Okay.
You can customize
So if you're
things.
like developing a new product, you
Exactly.
can kind of test out
Yeah, you can make a few versions.
different designs.
Test them out, tweak them
See what works
without having to spend a lot of money
on those big
on
molds.
tooling.
So it's a
Exactly.
good way to kind of experiment
Yeah, it's great for experimentation.
before you go into mass production.
Exactly.
I'm
And
out.
for parts that are really complex, that would be really hard to make
Okay.
with traditional molding.
Gotcha.
3D printing can be a real game changer.
Okay. But if you need to make
Right.
thousands of parts.
If you need high volume,
Yeah.
injection molding is still the king.
Still the best.
It's the most efficient,
Okay.
most cost-effective way
To get that
to get those high volumes.
consistency.
Yeah, and the consistency and quality.
Okay, so both of them have their place.
Right? They both have their strengths.
But what about this idea of like, can they work together?
Now you're talking.
3D printing and injection molding.
Yeah, that's where things get really interesting.
Okay.
So we're starting to see these hybrid approaches where you combine the best of both worlds.
Go.
So, for
No,
example, you
no,
can
no.
use 3D printing to actually make the molds.
Wait, so you're saying you can 3D print a mold
You can 3D print a mold
for injection
for
molding?
injection
Oh,
molding.
yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild.
That's pretty
So
cool.
you don't need that
Right.
traditional metal
You don't
mold.
need that expensive tooling.
Okay.
And that means you can create really intricate designs
Okay.
that would be really difficult
To do the other way.
to machine traditionally.
Yeah.
Plus, it's much faster
Okay.
and cheaper for small runs.
Gotcha. So you're kind of using 3D printing to make
Exactly.
injection molding more versatile.
Yeah, more flexible.
Okay, that's really cool.
And you can also use 3D printing
Well, I
to
mean,
make like inserts or components
oh,
that you
yeah.
then put into
Okay.
the injection molded part.
So you're kind of getting the best of
Exactly. Yeah. You're combining the design freedom of 3D printing with the efficiency of injection molding.
Okay.
Think about something like a smartphone.
Okay.
Some of those intricate parts inside might be 3D printed.
Okay.
But then the outer casing, that's injection molded.
It's like a hybrid.
Yeah. It's all about using the right tool.
Right. The right tool for the job.
For the job.
This is amazing. I had no idea.
Yeah.
This was even happening.
It's a rapidly evolving field.
It really is.
And with things like AI and machine learning coming into the picture.
Who knows what's next?
It's going to be exciting.
Yeah. So what are you most excited about?
Well, one area I'm really interested in is new materials.
Okay, new materials.
You know, we're seeing amazing things with recycled plastics.
Okay.
Bio-based plastics.
Right.
Even self-healing plastics.
Self-healing plastics.
Yeah. Oh. Imagine a plastic part that can repair itself.
Okay.
If it gets scratched or cracked.
Wow, that's like...
It sounds crazy.
Sci-fi.
It is coming.
That's incredible. And I imagine it would
really
help with like...
Extend the lifespan of products.
Yeah.
Reduce waste.
Reduce waste, yeah.
Open up all sorts of design possibilities.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
And then, of course, there's AI.
Right back to AI.
And machine learning.
Okay.
You know, imagine a system...
Okay.
That can predict problems.
Oh, wow.
Before they happen.
Before they even happen.
Yeah. And then automatically adjust the process.
And just fix them.
To prevent defects.
Wow. So we're talking like next level efficiency here.
Next level efficiency.
Wow. This has been so fascinating.
Yeah, it's been fun.
I've learned a lot.
It's always great to talk about this stuff.
So for our listener out there.
Right.
Who maybe is feeling a little overwhelmed.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in.
It's a lot. What's the one thing?
I would say don't be afraid to innovate.
Don't be afraid to innovate.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, the industry's always changing. You gotta stay ahead of the curve.
So keep learning, keep experimenting.
Exactly.
And keep pushing those boundaries.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe you'll be the one to invent that self-healing plastic.
Maybe I'll be the one.
You never know.
That would be pretty cool.
The future is full of possibilities.
That's a great place to end it.
Yeah.
Well, this has been another deep dive.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you guys next time.